be kind of hard on people because they like kind of status quo the way it is. And just let me live in peace in my jungle of doubt and unbelief. I want to go to heaven. He's going to take care of it on the way up. Well, the way up sometimes is the way down. Hallelujah. Are we happy today? Hallelujah. Because really, it doesn't make any difference what your circumstance is. It's where are you? Where are you at? Are you sucked up in circumstances of fear and doubt and fret and worry and unbelief and confusion? Or, I see the Lord seated on His throne, and His train. Come on, fill in your temple. Fill in you. If we don't take it in, He's outside. You can look at Him. You can talk about Him. You can reminisce. You can do all that. Or you can have Him living right here inside. Right now. How? By faith. By faith we live, we move, we have our being. Hallelujah. By faith we know that we can do things and see performance of it because we have the knowledge to apprehend it, to lay hold of it, and then to see it come to pass. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things I love to do is gardening. I've learned so many God principles out of gardening and out of farming. I had about 5 years of intense learning, not a lot of explaining to it. Just, this is what you're going to do. Well, I don't even know how to do it. Well, you're going to learn how to do it in the process of doing it. And I say, well, what are you doing? Where am I going? And so Dad would just leave some verbal orders. He didn't even have it in writing then, you know. Now you can go in. At least you can go back and pick up your sheet and find out what you wasn't paying attention to. The only sheet I got for paying attention was a good quick number 11. If I didn't do what I was told to do when he got home. And beloved, it was a good training time because you have to pay attention to what you're doing. You can't just go and just do anything you want to do and go any place you want to go. You have a mission. If you'll bring up the first page, I want to show them that I want to keep this in focus. Hallelujah. Are you there, honey? Praise the Lord. I don't want you to lose focus of what we're doing because these are all little characteristics that will actually develop within you a sun-like nature that will actually be producing itself. It'll be reproducing itself over and over and over and over. And as it does, it becomes a more refined and more easier and actually becomes more of a part of our character of who you really are. How many know that they're characters? How many want to be a son of God? Or you just want to get saved and go to heaven? And what are you going to do in heaven? You ever think about that? Are you going to talk to God? What are you going to do in heaven? And have a garden? What's going to happen in heaven? You ever think about that? Oh, I'm going to be in a mansion. I'm going to have everything that I didn't have here. That's not so. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, mansions, dwelling places. And just let me give you a little thought on what I might think it, that these dwelling places might be. And there might be a fully developed Elton Valentini. Fully developed Gail Malutin. Fully developed Jessica. I'm put every name here. Put your name in there. So could that be possible? Could I actually come to a place where I'm complete in Him? And the truth is, it's not only possible, it's His intent. And so how much you will be a partaker of how much He is will depend on what you will allow Him to do in you. Because what good is it if it's a forceful thing? Just as soon as you find an opening, you'll rebel. Rebellion is not of God in any sort, in any fashion. Rebellion is a spirit of witchcraft. It is not acceptable, cannot be acceptable in the kingdom of God. And so, what does that mean? Well, I'm not like you. You don't ever have to be like me. I don't ever have to be like you. Thank God we don't have to be like one another. But He has called us unto Himself to actually be an outray of who He is now. And how much He can be expressed through you. And then every place you go and everything you do and everything you touch, God wants to touch it in and through you. Did you hear me? Well, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Well, what do you think it'd be like? How many like going home? You like going home, Nancy? Do you remember all the old stuff? Do you remember any new stuff? Are you more comfortable at home? How do you act like when you're at home? Like a kid going home. Under whatever, I'm going to tell you, not everybody goes home in their safety. Not everybody goes home and there's good things that happen. Not everybody. I wish that could be. That can be in your home. Your home can be a home of safety. Your home can be a home of remembrances that when you go home, you come into that safety. You come into that abundance. You come into that presence where you're at liberty like you're never in any other place. Now, I feel like that our home is like that. Gail's mine. Because it's been established in Christ. I pray that your home is the same way. But if it isn't, it can be. But how it can be, how it's established, is in righteousness, is being sons of God. So if you go home, if you go into heaven, and you go to heaven, you need to have a good experience with God. You need to know that He has more than you have. That He has an abundance. And that you have a right to that abundant measure. Come on, everybody, say amen. Because the subject is still is, when shall the righteous shine forth like the sun? S-O-N. S-U-N. And we do this in part. We do this in degrees, don't we? Well, so I'm just going to give you some highlights of how you now can identify who you are as a son of God. And now in Matthew 13:43, we find out that God saw a treasure in earthen vessel, or in the earth, or in a field. You know what a field does? How many know what a field is? How many know? Some may not even know what a field is here. A field is a plot of ground that is tillable. It's not a forest, but it's a tillable ground that has a purpose. And the purpose is to grow something on it, and to plant seed on it, and to get a harvest out of it so that it will feed you. Getting it? Back in 1940, 30s, just coming out of the Great Depression, America was in a bad way. If you don't think so, you should see the lines that were just in Dearborn, Michigan to get a job. Literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people just to go to work. And they weren't negotiating prices. They were working on no union contracts. They just needed to go to work. And through the process of righteous government, even though there's unrighteousness always around, it wasn't the unrighteousness that reigned, it was the righteousness that began to bring forth a product, that began to take and give people livelihoods and begin to bless people and took them out of it. But in that time, there was a mentality there. And my stepdad and a lot of people of his age in that, where the farms were, his grandpa had an 80-acre farm. And a lot of people had little farms. And all the farmers, they could eat. We had cattle. We went all the time to the auction place where we would all bring our cattle together and they'd be auctioned off, and I could buy a calf to raise and for money and for food. Chickens, rabbits, goats, horses. I mean, we had everything there, but it was a little kind of a stinky place, and it really didn't have a cathedral ceiling or nothing like that. But for us, it was economic structuring. And I figured if I could buy a good heifer that's got a good breed line and breeder, next year I'd have two. Now listen to this. And then the next year, out of that two, if there was one heifer, I could have four. But listen to this. Just think of it. And it just goes on and on until pretty soon I have an abundant amount of livestock. But in order to have that abundant amount, I have to take and be diligent and bring that one heifer to be productive so that she can produce after her kind. And as it continues to grow, now see, this is just economic structuring. Now I know that I can totally depend on getting an increase. I'm not depending on somebody to give it to me. I'm not looking for a loan or a stimulus package of sorts. but I'm working at becoming fruitful in an abundance, more than I need. And so, in the process of that buying that farm, people really couldn't afford it, so the government did a stimulus type of thing. I don't know if you know this or not, but they had what they called soil banks. And our farm was actually bought on a soil bank. You see, because they paid us for not producing. But we were not intending not to produce. See, they paid us for not producing one particular crop, Al. That time it was corn. So we would grow wheat and barley and we grow and buck clover and buckwheat and June clover and we built and we were raising cattle on it, feeding them with our products that we oats, you know, and wheat, and so all these things we were growing on this farm that actually was being paid for because we wouldn't grow this one thing. Are we getting this? When shall the righteous shine forth like the sun? As soon as we realize that we are the dirt that he purchased, that we're the field, and the field there has intent. And the intent there is to produce a crop that will feed more than just you. If you just have survival in your thoughts, you do not know how to lay hold of the God in which created you. It's never been the intent of the church to just survive, or for you just to survive. God's intent is to bless you so that you have more than enough, but not to build barns and make bigger barns for yourself. But to actually be able to seed plant, to give, with an increase being expected back. Come on, beloved. I think the church is the only educational facility right now that don't expect nothing back from what they get. Like it's not that valuable. Are we getting this? Huh? My God. I mean, I'm about ready to jump out of my shoes here. You don't watch it. You better watch them because I might just do it. Hallelujah. Because this properties that I'm teaching about will produce for you character that will bring you prosperity, that will give you security, that no union, no company, no substance here on earth has the value in which to take and fill that up. And you're the field that he purchased to bring forth all of these characteristics that live here on earth, that now the kingdom of God now comes here on earth. All of our small towns that we lived in, everybody whined about them. Remember that? Couldn't wait to get out of this little small town because everybody knows what I'm doing. And I just hate that. I just hate everybody knowing what I'm doing. But they didn't hate it if there was a predator in town or something. They could run into the neighbor's house and she'd take care of them just like Mama. She disciplined them the same, but she would love them so much that there would be nothing that would come and hurt them. If they were hungry, she'd feed them. It's got to come back to America. Hallelujah. You're not an island unto yourself. You'll die. You're a hybrid that can't reproduce, no matter how good or what you might have. This that I'm talking about is not something that you have come into develop in your own and it's yours. It's not. It's an eternal gift of God, and He has graced us with that knowledge and that ability, and now it's your responsibility to give it out the best you can so that it can be reproduced again in someone else. Now, that's the difference between being a child that's learning and a son that knows who they are. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. You don't believe it? You better not be walking in a self-confident thing. Because you'll come down. Quickly. Listen. I've got to tell you this. How many are overcoming? Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I've overcome and sit down with my Father in His throne. So we got things we have to overcome, right? Yeah. And how many have overcome something? You thought you overcome something, and you found out you haven't. Uh-oh. You're a failure. You didn't know what you're doing. You're in trouble. That's what happens to, that's carnal mind. That's carnal-minded thinking. That's defeative thinking. That's immature thinking. We have to go back to Dad and say, Dad, what in the world? I did everything. It's been working all this time. But I come up against this and I found out that that's still there. And then His grace. Remember what I said? I see the Lord seated on His throne. His train filling the temple. He so wants to fill us. He so wants to fill us with His love. He so wants to fill us with His goodness. He so wants to fill us with the right answer. He's not spanking us because we've come to the point where this is not working in this area. He's going to come with an answer. Hallelujah. He's going to strengthen us in the time of our weakness. When we are the weakest, He's going to strengthen us. One of the things that you can't do not come to the point where you deny that which is in you that's not of God. Now, this is what you must do. You must tell it, you have no right here, you get on out. I know that sounds so simple, and how many times have we done it? You can't afford never to stop doing that. Because any time you submit to a weakness, and then you are succumbed by the weakness, until you come to yourself and realize that you are the Son of God and that the Word of God of deliverance is going to come out of your mouth. Confession is made out of your mouth. And as soon as you do, whether you deserve it or not, you got it.
Hallelujah.
Got what? Deliverance. We're going to walk into divine health, not because we're already healthy. We're going to walk into divine health when we take and put the Word of God in place of our weaknesses, in place of our frailties, in place of that which is not yet mature. Hallelujah. And we're going to say, you have no part in that anymore.
Hallelujah.
So you get on out of there. And it has to obey you. Well, Danny, what happens if I'm succumbed by it? You just come to yourself and take the Word of the Lord. Reach into the Word of God. Find it, hallelujah, and you'll see. Honey, go to that second, third page. Glory to God, so I want to get into this. Hallelujah. And we went through, and I'm going to start again because we just barely touched it. But you see, now this is the character in which we see the Lord beginning to work. The work of the Lord in our life. It is a completed work, but I'm telling you what, it is being a continual completion. It continues. It's patient. It's long-suffering. Hallelujah. It doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't lift itself higher than we are. Glory to God. But it brings itself right to where we are with an answer. And then as we yield to the answer, now that becomes a part of us. It's a finished work. It's going to be finished. You are going to overcome. Glory to God. But there is a process in the way in which you do overcome. And you have to take and let the mind of Christ now, those things that God has given you out of the Word and out of the mind of Christ. And now you have to apply them to the weaknesses that are all around you. Whether they're in you, in your family, around the neighborhood. Glory to God. On the workplace. Mighty God. Wherever you might be. Glory to God. You have a right as a son to bring the Father's working power into that situation. Now you got to get this. Because first, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And then what?
Hearing by the word of God.
Okay. And so, just because you said, do you hear? I'll tell you something. I ain't gonna say anything. I ain't gonna mention no names, but I've been doing some stuff with some people and giving them all the wisdom they need to do the job and do it right. But they don't do the job. Were they listening? Huh? Well, they heard it. Did they hear? Oh yeah. But were they listening? Did they know anything about it? No. So? But, has it been spoken?
Yeah.
Okay, so now, what do I do about it? Beat them up? Cut them off? Throw them out? Say goodbye? I can see that you're not going to listen. Come on. Isn't that what carnality wants to do? You got to do what I say because what I say is right. But the truth of the matter is, until you hear it, you don't know how to do it. So when you hear it, it comes out of your mouth. And as it comes out of your mouth, now this faith activated through your yielding to your mouth, and now you begin to speak it, and now this faith, how it's God's faith, glory to God, but it's in you now, you're learning how, it's a part of you now, because you've heard it, and so now you're going to begin to apply it. As you apply it, it will always work the same way. Because it's true righteousness. It's not, it works today and it doesn't work tomorrow. It may have different avenues. It may go through different prisms of understanding and of light. But in the essence of it, you'll say, oh, is that neat? I never saw it work like that before. But you recognize its properties. You know where it comes from. You know that God used this understanding that He spoke to you that you weren't really paying attention to. Glory to God. And then, all of a sudden, see, that's what He said. He's going to come in a twinkling of an eye. And all of a sudden, you got it. And as you get it, man, it's there now because you yielded yourself. Because you brought yourself in subjection to it, and now it's a part of who you are. Don't ever be ashamed of who you are. Don't ever be ashamed of your personalities. Don't ever be ashamed of your expressions. They may have to come under scrutiny. They may have to come under discipline once in a while. You know, if you're subject to other people, because then we love our brother more than we love ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some times when you're going to cut loose when nobody's around. Hallelujah. And you're not at all going to bother the Lord with that. He wants you to know that you don't bother Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's the work of the Lord. Then we need to cleanse ourselves. Hallelujah. And that's an ongoing process. These are ongoing processes to becoming a mature son. Do you know that maturity is not the end of a son? Do you know that? Are you listening close?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a revelation. When I place my son with the responsibility of the business, I don't expect him to know everything about the business. But I have seen the character that will do the business and not fail. That's what he wants with us. Believe me, we aren't going to come to a place where everything we do and say is perfect all the time in eternity. See, that's a fallacy that wants to try to get people really tricked. If that was the case, why would you need God? Ever. See, that's having a balance of understanding and being able to understand that there's more. There's more to the Son of God than the earth or the heavens has ever seen. They've seen Him as the Creator. They've seen Him as the Redeemer. Glory to God. But His intention is a many-membered body where not every part of the body has to function the same. Come, you think there's fivefold ministry? There'd be one. Why not just one? Why five? Huh? How many senses do you have in your body? How many? Count them. Is that a coincidence? Huh? You mean He's going to heighten our senses? You mean that I'm going to have to depend on you? And you're going to have to depend on me? Come on. Are we getting this? This is good. You know why? Because we'll always be in need. I thought we're never going to be in need. No, we're always going to be in need. But we're going to be glad because we're going to actually still be doing trade. We're still going to have economic structure moving all throughout eternity. Glory to God. And we're still going to have to say, hey, we need to call up such and such. We need to find out from such and such about this such and such. How many believe He's given you all things? To do what? That leads on to what? That leads on to godliness. That leads on to life. In godliness. And so, glory to God. So we find that we have to cleanse ourselves all the time. Then we add to our faith. And how we're adding to our faith, and I'm just going through this because I don't want you to miss it. Then I'm going to do a little bit on diligence, and believe me, a little bit more, and you're going to really love it. Glory to God, because these work in line, actually. They actually are working in line. You can't cleanse yourself without the works of the Lord, and you can't add to your faith if you haven't had a cleansing so that you know what are you going to add to your faith. What is it? Well, it's the past experience and all the past stuff. No. It's going to be God's Word that's made alive in us. And now it's being cleansed in us. This Word is pure. It's being cleansed in us. It's being developed in us. Hallelujah. And now Everyone needs a revelation. Everyone needs a revelation of the sons of God. You need to know you've been called to be a son, not a child. Now, you're going to be a child. Well, let me tell you something. You want to be a son, so let's work towards that. Glory to God. Now, I had brothers, and they all wanted to rise to the top by beating me down. Because I was smaller, and I was like in the middle. So, you know, I got whipped pretty good, and then my younger brother comes home after he's all pumped up in self-defense of being in the armed forces and how tough and rugged he was, and I didn't go in. And so the first time he gets out of boot camp, he thinks he's going to flip me on the floor. Take his place, you know. This is what happens. Well, it reversed. And he was on the floor. I said, now what are you going to do, brother? He said, where'd you learn that? And I said, well, I didn't learn it from Uncle Sam, but I did learn it. And I'm telling you. See, glory to God. You could see, beloved, that what God's doing inside of you, then when it's challenged, even by some of the ones that you love and love one another, that you'll see that you have a place in God that's been established in Him, and that power of God is in you, and it's yours. And you can walk in it, and you can know it, and you need to. You don't have to think that it's not sufficient, because it's more than sufficient. What He's doing is He's making us sufficient. So, and what's happening is, you see, in order for me to do that to my brother, I had to know some maneuvering, self-preservation. And so in the midst of it, I had a feeling that I was the only one in the world that might, that everybody loved me. And so I found that out real quick. So I learned to defend myself. That if you don't love me, then I guess you must hate me. So I got to defend myself. Because you're going to hurt me. Well, you ain't going to hurt me. I'm not going to let you do that. It's never my intention to ever hurt anybody. But to strengthen you. And to challenge you. To lift up those things that God has put within you. Hallelujah. To the point where now you walk in them. So, In these three areas. Now, this one in being diligent. Now, the diligence is really cool, because what that will do is that will give you, and just let's go to it real quick. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Glory to God. Honey, it's 2 Peter 14. We went through this 2 Peter 1 through 14, and so this is the subject, and then I'll start from there, and then I kind of want you to go to another scripture that I don't have down here. I'm thinking that it's right in my mind. And okay, in 2 Peter 14, if you go to it, I want to show you something that takes place here, and then I want to do a little run on that. I'm going to do a little run on that reference there. Hallelujah. Knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. You know, I guess some of these things give me really reserve about the life and the death and all that. I believe that if you're continually growing in God, that if He's going to take your body, He'll tell you. I've dealt with a lot of funerals and stuff that I didn't want to deal with, because I don't really like death. But I've learned that the righteous are taken out of His mercy. It says no one takes it to heart, but the truth of it is, He said that He takes the righteous so that they'll escape the tribulation that's ahead of them. You see, He loves us so much that he has us in mind even when we think death is the final card that's given, but it's not. And so here's Paul getting ready to take and his tabernacle there. We are the tabernacle. We're not only the temple, but we're also the tabernacle. This body is what? What's this body? Huh? It's the tabernacle of God. Now look at this. That's where he dwells in. Glory to God. Not just in the temple, but also in the tabernacle. You're the tabernacle. Let me tell you, he's the most holy place. Hallelujah. In this tabernacle is the temple. And then, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me, so he knows that he's getting ready to take and give his physical life for this gospel. And so, hallelujah. Honey, that should be 3, honey. Chapter 3, the 14th verse. 2 Peter, okay. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such a thing, be diligent that ye may be found in him peace, without spot and without wrinkle. Be found of him in peace, without spot or wrinkle. That one word, you know, and it has more than one meaning. But let me tell you something. You know when you're at peace? When you can lay your bed on the... When you can lay your head on the pillow and know that you can sleep. How many are thankful that you can still go into your home, lay your head on your pillow, and you can still sleep? Amen. Glory to God. And gives your body rest, right? Well, you need to have rest in and of yourself as well. And so, so just be diligent. So let me look at the word diligent and give you a little bit more understanding on that, and just give you the definition there of the word diligent, because I want to just do a little bit here. Glory to God. It's 4740, and your Strong's. The word is spoodadzo. S-P-O-O. D-A-D-Z-O in the Greek. Hallelujah. And if you want good pronunciation, you have to ask my buddy Alton Valentini. But that's the way I pronounce it. Hallelujah. And what it means is to use speed. Isn't that cool? That is to make effort. To promote or earnest, do, diligence, be diligent, forward, endeavor, labor, study. Is this cool? Use a little speed here. Not the kind of speed that probably that some people know, but hallelujah. It even has a better effect, glory to God. Because that particular first part of that word it's the speed, that is, by implication, to dispatch eagerness, earnestness. So, as we're diligent here to take on this righteous character and become sons, we need to be diligent at it. Now, if I can give you an example of being diligent at it. How many of you have got so good at some things that they never even look at what they do? Yeah, you do, Annie. Because it goes all over. Now listen. To do it speedily and with eagerness, really, if you want to know, and with an intent to see it accomplished, to see it. When you know how to do something, you've done it enough, You don't have to think about every move you made. Glory to God. And so you just go with the confidence that you have. You go ahead and approach it. And if you forgot something, it shows up. Right? And when it shows up, what do? Oh, I knew better. I knew better. I don't know why I did that. But what it does do for you is it focuses you back in on the whole picture. And now you have to find out what didn't I do? Because it's not going to work, Al, with that part gone. It's not going to work. And so it brings us back to being responsible to go back and diligently search it out. Search out, and I'm always mechanical, so you always will hear a formula of mechanics when I talk. But you left the O-ring out and it's leaking like a sieve. And that baby ain't going to stop leaking till you find that O-ring, put it in there. The answer is coming right back to the basics, just happen to do it over again. But this time, even in your eagerness, you've been diligent to make sure that every part, every step was done. So be patient with yourself, because everything's there. It's going to work out. It's going to, you've got all the righteous parts in it. It's just a matter of, hey, I got in a little bit too big a hurry. So we'll look at some other diligent examples in the Word of God. First of all, go to Philippians 3:20. We'll first start at the word, at seeing it, and being able to then recognize that there's a problem or there's a part that has to be brought back into focus. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, now take it out of mechanics and put it into lifestyle. You're pressed on something and you just don't have the answer and you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know how you're going to get it. And at this particular time, you don't have the means in which to just go out and have somebody do it for you. But you need that. You need to get it done. You see now that you have to take and make some preparations. You have to bring something to you in order to see it accomplished. You have to bring righteousness into your life. You have to bring a proper procedure, or you need to go get the right wrench and stop using the pliers. How many times have I it'll only take about a minute more. Not even a minute. Sometimes a few seconds. And I'll grab the wrong tool to try to do a job. I'll end up pinching my hand and I'll end up taking the corners off and just all kinds of crazy stuff. That wasn't necessary. Did I get the job done? Probably. But is it damaged? Absolutely. Does it make a difference? Yes. Next time it has to be repaired, I may have to use a different wrench now. Hallelujah. Are we getting this? This is so good. So, our conversation is in heaven. So, guess what we do? We say, Lord, I'll tell you what, I'm always crying unto the Lord. I'm a needy person. Everything I do, usually, they get thrown at me, somebody's got a problem. They think I'm a walking encyclopedia on everything. I don't know. Well, usually I can figure it out. But I have to be diligent. I have to go back, look at the principles of operation, and bring myself to the discipline of those principles. And then from there, we can begin now to recognize what needs to be repaired. And then what it will take to repair it. And so I'm saying, oh God, help me, Lord. Because I like to get things done. I'm eager to get things done in a hurry. So I go to the quick internet. Jesus! What are we going to do about this, Lord? Because lots of times it's people related or whatever, you know. Family related, husband and wife related, brother and sister related, relationship related, kids and schools related, you know. Out in the street related. Okay, praise the Lord. So let's look at another one for the seeing. Let's go to Hebrews 9. Man, I love this one. Hebrews 9, 28. Now we're still dealing with now diligence, and so now we're just looking at what we can see. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time. How? Is he going to appear to you with no answer? Danny, you don't understand. This one here is, I just haven't been able to overcome this. I think I know. I think I've been there once or twice. Go there again, probably, and tell him, to him that overcometh. But where does my answer lie? What am I diligent to do? In my weakness, I call on him. In my inabilities, I call on him. And I let him expose me. Be honest with me. Man, you really messed up, buddy. How do you ever expect me to fix this? I don't know, Lord. But I know you. Never leave me nor forsake me. But Lord, you know, he says, I know, son. And then he comes. And he forgives you and you know it. Nobody has to tell you that he forgave you. You know he has. And you walk in that forgiveness. You still may be struggling. But you see, you're not hopeless. And every time he comes with faith. He comes with an ability to be diligent. You just keep going to God. And don't you stop. And you just keep obeying what he tells you to do. And don't stop obeying what he tells you to do. And the end result of that word for you will always be eternal life. It will always help you. It will always bring you back into what? A second time. Without sin. And now you see the deliverance. You experience it. You are the evidence of it. Hallelujah. Every time. And so isn't this great? I mean, this is good. This is better than going on a hiking and seeing new things or whatever you might like to do that you really get excited about. This is better than shooting a 40 in golf. I've never shot that ever, so if that ever happens, it'll be a miracle. But I'm saying it won't happen. Because I keep working on it, and I keep getting better all the time. I can actually now use all my clubs pretty much effectually. I don't have to ask somebody how far will this go anymore, because I pretty much know. But I nowhere yet have I mastered that. Nowhere yet have we mastered all the salvation that He has poured out for us, that we will experience as we walk in diligence. Now, see what's happening now? Diligence has a product. And the product is salvation. What kind? More for you. More for me. Hallelujah. And in the process of it, I guarantee you, He's not going to leave you with nothing. You know, I don't know what my kids are going to do. They're not going to have retirement. I don't want to hear that. You know, when I was younger, maybe in the 50s or 40s, I thought, well, how are my kids ever going to afford a home now? This superinflation is one stupid. They don't make that kind of money. How will they ever afford a home? Just being honest with you. Well, they did. They did. God moved in ways that would give them whatever they needed. They took everything they had, but whatever was that they had, glory to God, hallelujah, they were willing to give it so that they could have something, glory to God. And I'm telling you what, that's how God works. He doesn't work by the attitudes of carnal men and women who try to plot and steal everything. Not our God, and He won't do that with you. As you go to the kingdom of God, the properties that He's adding will not only be those material things that you need, but He's putting something more valuable in you than any you could ever purchase with, no matter what you might have, is this character of Christ, where we now go to God for the impossible constantly. And in the midst of it, He comes without sin, a second time to us, because the first time He came, I know He forgave me of all my sins. But I wasn't through with them. And neither were you. But He still forgave them for me, and now He's given me something better. Because He'll still forgive you of your sins. But if you're a partaker of them, you got to stop it. You have to stop it. Somebody say amen. My Lord. He's not a Santa Claus. What He's given you, He don't take back. You don't have to pay penance for this, beloved. There's no penance required. He's purchased our possession. He's purchased this precious possession. He sold everything He had. He purchased this precious possession, which is you. And He will see you all the way to the end. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But you will be at an end result. You will be a finished product, that you know that God has righteousness dwells. That it dwells within you. And that if other people want this righteousness, hallelujah, they can come and get it. It works. It's there. It's permanent. It don't go away. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what, it'll make you money on the market. Because nothing works in a lie. Nothing works in a fake situation. Nothing lasts for very long in a virtual world. Nothing. It has no longevity to it. But we're not in a virtual world. We're in the kingdom of God. And we're housing it. And we're housing God. And in the midst of it, every place your feet steps, He steps. Every place, everything you say, hallelujah, that's from Him, He says. Same authority, same power in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now let's just look at a couple of things on discipline. Go to 2 Peter 1:5. And let's read 5 through 4. Diligence. Hallelujah. And I'm just, oh, Lord Jesus, I just got just a few more and I'll quit. Hallelujah. Honey, be with me. Glory to God. 2 Peter 1, 5. Oh, wake up, baby. Okay. And we're going to go from 5 to 10. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, come on. And I'm doing this again because it's so important. And to acknowledge temperance, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See where you're going to be fruitful in? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So what's purging us? His word. His word in us is a soap that purges us. What's that mean? It has the ability, when we do something wrong, we cry unto the Lord and he gives us a word, and then we start doing what he says, and it actually washes us and cleanses us, because the purpose of it is that it will not be a part of us anymore. Period. One more. Here. 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, once again, to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, you're never going to fail. You do not have to look for failure, ever. Let me tell you something. If you get fired from a job, just say, praise the Lord, there's a better one down the road. I'll tell you that right now. Because if you hold on to a righteous standard, wherever you go, they'll be blessed because of you. The whole company, all the people around you will be blessed because of you. Just got to hold that standard. You can't lie. You can't cheat. You can't steal with them, even though they want you to. Glory to God. And by doing so, and if, when you leave, guess what? Blessing leaves. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to one more. 1 John 3:3. And this is where we're going to end today. Oh, mighty God. Kind of slipped up on me. Hallelujah. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you glad he purifies us?
Yes.
And I am. I'm loving him more every day. I'm enjoying him more every day. Glory to God. Don't seclude yourself. I used to think that, and you got to be careful that you don't get religiously minded in thinking that you're going to live for God in a closet. It won't happen. That's not how God does a thing. He doesn't do it in a closet. Now, he may put you in a closet to teach you something. But if he does, he's going to expect you to give it out. Too long there's been too many people just sat in the pew think they don't have nothing to say. Listen, we are the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Right? And so it's important that you say what God's speaking to you. So before we end the service, hallelujah, do we have any testimonies? Anybody that's had something happen out of the ordinary and God has come through in some way or another?